Proverbs 1 and verse 24. This comes right on the heels of verse 23, where we just learned that if we turn at God at wisdom's reproof, he'll pour out his spirit unto us and make known his words unto us. But then look what happens here. They don't do it. They don't turn. They don't listen. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. So let's look at that first clause there. Because I have called and ye refused. So here we see that it is man, not God, which is culpable for his lack of wisdom. Right? Because God called. It wasn't that God didn't call. It's God called, but man refused. But there's no man, especially in this day and age, that can claim ignorance when he's punished for refusing wisdom, because we're told in Acts 17 and verse 30 that at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And like I said before, nobody has any excuse for not knowing at least basic things about the gospel message in the Bible, because everybody is carrying it around in their pocket. And I've been listening to the Bible app that has this really nice British man that reads it. And I've been listening to that a lot lately, going back and forth to work and brushing my teeth in the morning and really enjoying it. So there's no excuse. It's free for the taking for anybody that wants it. So the problem is not a lack of calling on wisdom's part. And I'm just going to read you some phrases here from Proverbs 1, 20 through 21, 8, 2 through 3, and Proverbs 9, 3. Just save you the time instead of turning there. Look at what wisdom says here. It says that wisdom cries in the streets, in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city, in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths, at the coming in at the doors, and upon the highest places of the city. So wisdom calls all over the place, as we learned here a week or two ago. So the blame rather lays solely on the person who refused the cry of wisdom, not on God, who offered it. And the fact that they refused wisdom indicates that they did hear it, and they considered it, and they decided to reject it. Right? Because when you reject something, when you refuse something, that generally means that you know you were offered it, you heard it, you at least considered it enough to say, no, I don't want that, right? So they heard, considered it. They didn't want anything to do with it. And in refusing then the call of wisdom, then they also declined the blessing that's attached to it. Because God has a blessing in store for those who will hearken and follow wisdom. Proverbs 8, 33 through 36. And this is what we're going to see in the rest of Proverbs chapter 1. That they are going to lose out on blessing and they are going to instead get severe judgment. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So people that reject wisdom don't only despise God, they hate themselves. Right? They despise their own soul. They wrongeth their own soul because they're ultimately inviting judgment upon themselves by refusing to obey God. So when the Lord calls, we better answer or judgment awaits. And the Lord tells us this in Isaiah 65. The Lord is long-suffering, like we saw, even to a wicked woman like Jezebel. But yet, whenever people refuse, they only refuse for so long, and then God gets upset. The Lord says in Isaiah 65 and verse 12, therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. And they were going to die for that. And that happened in Israel's history numerous times. God sent in armies to judge them and punish them because they did not hear, they did not regard when God called unto them. Look at Isaiah 66 and verse 4. The Lord says, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Very similar to what he said before. I called, they didn't answer. I spake, they didn't hear. They didn't want to listen to me. God says, okay, I'll give you what you want as a judgment against you. And we'll see that in later on in Proverbs chapter 1. Now, parents should take heed to this lesson. Because when God says to his children, when I call, you better answer. When I tell you to do something, you better do it. When I call your name, you better be coming, right? Not, oh, I'll get it, whatever. I'll be there in a minute. No, you better be there right now. When parents call, children should answer quickly or trouble should follow. You know, and I had to do this today. Like I said, I don't have kids of my own yet, but I got a bunch on the bus. And I found out that some kids, they just have to feel. Some kids just won't listen. My grandpa said that they that won't listen have to feel. Some kids, the only thing they understand is the rod. It's really, some of them, they'll just do the right thing. Some of them, if you just look at them, they'll do the right thing. Some of them, if you tell them, they'll do the right thing. And some of them, you just tell them, it's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. One more time and you're going to get it. And they just got to get the rod. And I speak figuratively here. But I like this guy too, but I told him, I want you to sit down and face forward. I told him yesterday, and yesterday was his last warning. I told him right when he got on the bus, before he even did it, sit down and face forward. Well, sure enough, he turns around, he's goofing around in the seat behind him. I said, all right, you're getting a conduct report for that. And then all of a sudden he straightens up, because he knows he's going to be in trouble now. He knows he's going to get that thing. His parents are going to ground him again. He knows the deal. And yet the only thing he understands is punishment. Some kids are just like that. It's really something. I feel bad. I honestly feel a little bit bad doing it. But he's got to learn, when I say something, I mean business. When I tell you to do something, you do it, or else you're going to be in trouble. Now, if the trouble that follows is simply more calling by parents, then they only demonstrate their weak and ineffective leadership and are setting their children up for failure and serious problems later on in life. That's usually the punishment that a lot of kids get, is just more calling, right? Or the counting thing. You know, I've told you how badly I hate this. One, two, two and a half, two and three quarters, two and seven eighths, 2 15/16, you know, like they never get to 3. 3 is when the spanking comes, you know, and then they start recounting, you know. They get to 2 and then they relapse back to 1 for some reason. Exactly. Okay, and then the next part, Proverbs 1 and verse 24. Proverbs 1, 24, we get to the second half of that. Because I have called and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. So God calls, first of all, utters his voice. They didn't pay attention. Then he stretches out his hand. It's like he's really trying to help. He's trying to reach out and pull these people out of their sinful ways. But they don't regard. You think about it, just as you would extend your hand to grab a drowning person and to try to pull them out, this is what God's doing here. He doesn't want his children to die in their folly. And I'm speaking of God's children, right? This is not some eternal thing where God's reaching out to try to grab some lost sinner to save him from the flames of hell or something like that. God does that all by himself. He doesn't need them to reach out and grab his hand or something. I'm talking about his own children that are heading for destruction, and he's reaching out, offering them to pull them out of it. What do we commonly refer to when we're trying to help somebody out? I'm reaching out to them, right? Don't we say that? I reached out to him, you know, try to give him some help. This is what the Lord's doing. But oftentimes, the people that we reach out to, they don't reach back, right? And you can't help somebody that won't reach back. Pastor Phil Yonker said it well. Actually, at my ordination, it's so funny, the things that stick with you, these words have just been, they were burned into my mind that day. I've never forgotten them, and I probably will never, ever forget them. He said, you can't fix people that don't want to be fixed. You can't change people that don't want to change. And that is so true. You can't. It's pretty much, it's just a waste of your time to even try, really. If somebody wants help, that's different. But to try to go out and help somebody that doesn't want it, it's not going to help. And I'm sure everybody, all of us has been there. We've all seen that happen. Maybe we've even been on the other end of that. Maybe we've been the ones that didn't want the help. And somebody out there desperately wants to help us, and we're like, nope, I don't want it. That happens sometimes. So anytime that we've attempted to do something like that to help somebody else and it doesn't work out, well, God knows our pain because he's been there, because he stretched out his arm, his hand, and no man regarded. And then here's one to think about. God at first extends his hand. And if you don't accept his hand, then he extends his fist. Right? So it starts out as an open hand, and then it ends with a fist. And of course, I'm kind of embellishing and elaborating here a little bit with the fist thing, but you'll get what I'm saying here in Isaiah 5 and verse 25. Isaiah 5 and verse 25. Because the Lord's hand, you know the song, the country song, Daddy's Hands? Daddy's hands were always gentle. How's it go? Daddy's hands were always gentle. Something. They were hard when I'd done wrong. I can't remember how it goes, but Daddy's hands were comforting sometimes and painful other times, right? And that's the same with the Lord. Isaiah 5 and verse 25 says, therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now, this is not stretching forth his hand to help. This is stretching out his hand to slap, right, to whack you upside the head. And this is the case with the fools to whom wisdom cries in the remainder of this chapter. God all of a sudden has taken that hand, and it's a backhand, right? He's not trying to help you out anymore. And that brings us to Proverbs 1 and verse 25.